Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii and Boston, Massachusetts. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. What does God do when he brings together two people who were raised with backgrounds in ministry? David and Lois Pennebaker both grew up in ministry families. David's parents were church planters in Northern Ontario, and Lois' parents were missionaries in Hawaii. They both became church pianists at the age of 12 and have facilitated worship since that time. Today, their ministry has occurred in a wide variety of settings, creating a rich tapestry of experiences. Speaking of the richness of tapestry and color and weaving, you know, God weaves our moment together and the distinct colors of our own lives for a wonderful tapestry, even for this moment, dear one. As you listen to this program, as you join us, it's our heart, really the heart of the Good Life Radio Show, to bring you closer and closer to Jesus Christ. Sometimes the tapestry doesn't look so good on one side, but there's a beauty that's developing on the other side. And God is at work. And today we want to share with you that God loves you so much, he sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for your sins. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, no matter how tough, difficult, or down you are, Christ loves you so much he died on the cross for your sins. He shed his blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and you know what? 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And the living Christ, calls you to himself. David and Lois Pennebaker, they know what it's like to have a relationship with Jesus. And it's our heart, all of our hearts, for you to know Christ today. David serves as the international worship consultant with Every Community for Christ, the church planting branch of One Mission Society. Lois uses her administrative and organizational skills to assist David. David has a doctorate in worship studies from the Robert E. Weber Institute for Worship Studies, a Master of Arts in Broadcast Communications from Wheaton Graduate School, and a Bachelor of Arts in Biblical Literature from Bethel College. Lois has served as the Alumni Director for Bethel College in Indiana. They have 3 adult married children and 5 grandchildren. David and Lois, welcome to our show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Danny.
David, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Northern Ontario in a place called North Bay. And it's about 230 miles north of Toronto, the city in which I was born.
What was it like growing up there?
Well, it was beautiful. Northern Ontario is a popular vacation spot. In fact, the only industry that North Bay really enjoys is tourism. And the winters are long and cold, but quite bearable if you dress appropriately. So we grew up enjoying winter sports, especially hockey and skating. It wasn't uncommon for everyone to convert their driveway into a skating rink. And as soon as we got home and if our studies were done, we spent the rest of the evening skating. And so I grew up loving that. Mm. And we were on a long, beautiful lake, Lake Nipissing. It was 90 miles long with sandy beaches. And so water sports were also a wonderful part of growing up.
And Lois, how about you? Where did you grow up?
I grew up on Kauai, and I went there as an infant and lived most of my school years there. So I love the ocean and the mountains and the outdoor activities that Kauai has to offer.
Who would you say, Lois, influenced you most in your growing up years?
Well, definitely my parents. Both my mom and dad in different ways. And so I feel very blessed to be in a home where both my parents were committed to following Jesus Christ.
And David, who influenced you most?
Well, certainly, again, growing up in a Christian home was one of the great privileges that I enjoyed. And I think early on, my twin brother and I were adopted, before the age of two. But I came to understand in a profound way that God had done something extraordinary in adopting me into a Christian home where I could hear the gospel. And my parents planted churches back in the days when you did it the old-fashioned way. There weren't blessed transfers to help you. And so you had to share the gospel and see them saved and then disciple them to build churches. But along the way, too, God also brought people into my lives that had a profound influence. And early in our lives, a young man from Western Canada came to Ontario. He was working with Child Evangelism Fellowship. And stayed in our home, and then the next year he brought his bride back, and this was Wayne and Muriel Atwood, and they really had a profound impact in my life. They were kind of adopted into our family, so they were like, we would call them in Hawaii aunties and uncles to us, but they really became a part of our family, and Wayne in particular was a mentor to me and a great encourager to me. I remember very early on, I had just started learning to play the piano, and I wasn't very accomplished at all. And one night at youth group, Wayne said, David, you're going to play for youth group tonight. And I was terrified. And I said, Wayne, I can only play in three keys, the key of C, the key of F, and the key of G, because it only had one black note. And he said, well, we'll go through the hymn book and we'll just pick songs that are in those keys and you play along. And if you can't keep going, we'll just keep singing. And that was the start of my musical career as a church musician. And Wayne was very encouraging, and that gave me the hope and the willpower to practice like crazy. And my goal was to be able to play at church and play hymns. And a year later, I was doing that. So I've been ever so grateful for the impact that Wayne has had in my life.
We need a lot of Waynes in this world.
We really do.
I mean, someone to see your passion, to see your potential, and then to create a pathway for you to,
yes,
to express that. And, you know, it sounds like he created a, of course, God used him to create this. There was an insulation. You were going to succeed. You were going to experience what it's like to carry it out.
Yeah.
Wow. How did you meet Lois and David?
We met actually here on Oahu. David was traveling with a college quartet, and he was their pianist. And they came here to Oahu for a church camp that the missionary churches on the island were holding together, and that's when we first crossed paths.
What's your take on it, David?
Well, I have a take that's much more dramatic, but not quite as truthful as my wife's. You know, it was funny because, we were all very impressed with Lois, as most people are. And I was quite suspicious that the bass singer in our quartet had a crush on her, because when we got back, every picture that he had, even if it was a silly picture, somewhere in the picture Lois was there, and we teased him about that. But it wasn't until a year later when Lois returned to Indiana on a tour with another choir here from the islands that we met for a second time. And surprisingly enough, I'm not good with names, but I, fortunately, this perhaps was a God thing, I remembered her name. And I was in my senior year of studies at Bethel College, and part of the work that I was doing is I'd taken kind of what we would call today an internship, working with young people at a local church. And so when Lois came up to greet me at the Bible camp, I said, you know, I'm going to be working this fall with a youth group. Would you consider coming alongside and helping out, particularly with the young ladies in the youth group? And Lois, of course, with a heart for ministry, immediately responded, yes. So we became really good friends. And so by February, my brother and some others had been prodding me to ask Lois out for a date. And, of course, I was terrified. But she was back here in Hawaii for the J term. And so I did work up enough nerve to write her a letter. And I'll let her tell the rest of the story.
My side of the story is that David has a very lively sense of humor, which is a good thing. But my dad also did, and I had been embarrassed by him a time or two, and I decided I would never marry anyone with a lively sense of humor. How did I do?
Not too well.
Praise
the Lord.
Yes, indeed.
But I realized through a series of circumstances that we were very good friends and that I really trusted David. And to me, that was a key ingredient of a long-term relationship was trust. And I still wasn't interested in him as a boyfriend, but God went out of his way to speak to me in my quiet time three different times. And basically his message was that he wanted me to accept David as he was. And I still didn't understand the importance of this, but I finally, you know, realized God said to me, you're not perfect either, and I've accepted you as you are, and I'm asking you to accept one person that I've created. And I've strived to be obedient and to follow God's voice. And so I said, finally, okay, but I don't know what the big deal is. And an
you
hour
said
later,
that to God.
I said this to God.
I just want to be sure we clarify that.
Yes. I said this to God. I'm not sure if that was overly bold, but I wasn't getting it. I guess I'm a bit dense.
No.
And anyway, an hour later, there was a letter in the mail asking me for a date. And I kind of knew at that point I was supposed to take this relationship very seriously, which we did. And we were married about 6 months later. And next month it will be our 42nd anniversary.
Wow.
But I'm so grateful that God spoke to me in that way, because life has a lot of challenges. And there have been many times where I very clearly understood that my marriage is a call, and it's not just a relationship I take flippantly, but I'm in this relationship by God's design, and I'm supposed to give it my best and live it out in obedience to Christ.
So I was very grateful that God was the matchmaker in this situation. You know, I tended to look a lot more like Woody Allen than I did Brad Pitt, and I've never quite understood that, but I just thought, you know, this is a beautiful young lady, and she's not going to be interested in me romantically, but we've enjoyed a wonderful relationship and marriage over the years, and we're just grateful to the Lord for that.
I'm so glad we got the dramatic explanation.
From both sides.
It's an accurate accounting of what God did, yes.
Well, when we come back from our break, you know, David and Lois have, 42 years. Congratulations.
Thank you.
On 42 years of marriage. That alone speaks volumes, spoken and unspoken. But really, as you listen today, dear friend, to David and Lois, you know, their hearts have been knit together all through the years, and one common denominator, one thread that goes throughout is their hearts for the Lord and their hearts for worship. Worship. When we come back from our break, what's the urgent need? Well, this is a question I'd like to ask them. What's the urgent need for Christians to have a deeper understanding of biblical worship? Hey, do you go to church and sing a few songs, a few hymns, a few worship songs? Do you sometimes just go through the motions? Do you have a thought in mind that you have to get through this to get to the message, which is the main part? Well, we'll hear more from David and Lois when we come back. Stay with us.
Aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Indeed, the Lord brings people together. And you know what? The Lord also speaks to individuals. If we listen, Lois Pannebecker, you know, she listened to the Lord, and the Lord began to speak to her about the man who would be her husband, David. And God has brought them together and used them mightily in 42 plus years of ministry together. They have a heart for worship. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer. David and Lois Pannebecker in studio with us today. You can find out more about this program at thegoodlifehawaii.com, and you can find out more about them and their ministry, onemissionsociety.org. David and Lois, describe to us the urgent need for Christians to have a deeper understanding of biblical worship.
Well, that's a wonderful question. It's also a challenging question to answer. I grew up in the church, and so I've always had a deep love for the church and God's family as they gather together. Our family was a singing family, and so I loved the music of the church. I think one of the challenges that we face, at least in the Western church today, is we have so closely identified worship with music that for many people and even many pastors, the two words are synonymous. And that's not bad, but it's a, perhaps a shallow understanding of worship. I remember it was about, I served as a worship pastor at a church in Indiana for 13 years. And very early on, I was in conversation with the senior pastor, and I told him, I said, you know, my background is in music in terms of church worship, and I'm happy to design worship services for you, but if you were to ask me to give a theological rationale for why I do what I do, I just do what I saw my parents do and what I've seen others to do. And I really felt the Lord prompting me to get solid theological training in worship. And of course, in the 70s, that wasn't even available at most evangelical colleges. And so my pastor was very supportive. And so I began a journey of getting a doctoral degree in worship studies. And it really proved to be one of the most rewarding chapters in my life. It allowed me to read at an academic level that I had not engaged in for many, many years. But one of the significant things I took away from the program is that worship does God's story. And everybody, Danny, as you know well, lives their life out of a particular story. It might be their Hawaiian heritage. It might be a particular political affiliation. It might be consumerism, capitalism, whatever. But we choose a story that makes sense of our lives. And so one of the things in doing Christian worship and focusing on the story, particularly as it comes to focus in the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus, is it becomes our story. We're invited to participate in God's story and then live our life out of that story. And so one of the things that careful worship designers pay attention to are two foundational principles. Number one, the Christian story is based on the fact that we worship the triune God. God has revealed himself as Father, Son, and Spirit. And it's surprising many times how many worship services never mention the triune God. But then it's also Christologically centered. We worship the risen Lord. And I have been surprised on how many services I've attended, particularly in the music texts, where the name of Jesus is never mentioned. And it's at the name of Jesus that every knee will bow. And so proclaiming the name of Jesus, not only in our song text, but in our scripture readings, in our prayers, in our greetings, I think is absolutely foundational to who we are as a gathered people of God. Mm. One of the things I have particularly appreciated in our international travel is there is such a willingness to learn, to be teachable. And that has been just such a delight and privilege for us as we've traveled. It's harder here in the West. We tend to think we know everything. And, you know, you run up, well, you don't need to tell me how to worship. I know which songs to select. And worship is much richer and much deeper than just selecting song texts, as important as that is.
Well, and as our program progresses, we need to hear about some of your ministry in other countries.
Okay. Well, Lois would be a great one. Lois facilitates all of our trips, and she's fantastic at that. And so, Lois, why don't you share some of the things we've done?
We have done work internationally in both worship training and also in the area of puppetry. David studied puppet design here at the University of Hawaii back in the 70s and studied with Kermit Lubb, who made Big Bird, Mr. Snuffleupagus. And from that, we went on to do puppet design and performance in film and television and in live shows and in the secular and also church setting. And we've used puppetry, intertwining it with music in the collegiate level and in local churches. So we have a really wide variety of experiences in puppetry. But in the last 10 years, maybe it's more than that now, we've been doing more international travel. A lot of that was to Russia, the former Soviet Union, and we've been to Philippines a couple of times. And in those settings, David helps the participants create a puppet, write scripts, and learn to perform the puppets. So they have been great door openers. We call them our foam ambassadors. Mm-hmm. And they are a wonderful tool for the Christians in those countries to open the door for ministry.
If I could share a story, Danny, that really had an early impact for us. We had taken a team of young people to Romania, and we were working with some missionaries there, and they had shared with us how difficult it had been. They were wanting to break into the school system and have some kind of bridge there, and the resistance was just enormous. And so we had built about 30 puppet characters in the workshop, and I said, listen, can we go to the city park and practice where people will see us. And they said, well, sure. And we had just got the puppet stage up. And of course, these were young puppeteers. They'd never held a puppet in their hand before. And as we were beginning, we heard this car drive by and the brakes screech. And the car turned around, and a lady jumped out of the car, and she said to the missionaries, I don't know who you are, but I want those puppets in my school system. And immediately God had opened a door that had been locked closed to them that they could not break through. And he used the puppets to build a relationship where they could be in the school system. And we have seen that repeated in country after country after country, that God has used these foam ambassadors, we call them, to open doors for missionaries and for mission and ministry opportunities. And that's something that I never saw God doing back when I was here in 1975 or 76 studying at the university. Mm-hmm. And it's been absolutely thrilling to see how what God had in mind, even when I was starting to learn how to design. And so it's been a marvelous journey for us to see God at work in this way.
In relation to that, David,
yes,
how important is it using the puppets to engage with celebrating local cultures?
Well, one of the things that we discovered very early on was that every culture has its own color palette. And so when we're working and designing the puppets, I really have a hands-off approach in terms of how they decorate and how they design their characters. I want them to express their creativity within in their cultural context. And so that has proven to be a really wonderful thing to watch. They put things together that I would never dream, particularly in terms of color palette, of doing, but it's absolutely appropriate for that culture and for that setting. The one thing that I have really worked hard at and it has been well received is how to use puppets in ministry appropriately. In this country, for some reason, early on when I started this, my children were really, really young. And they knew that the puppets that Dad made went into a box at the end of the day for storage and stuff. And so I felt it was really important to not have the puppets to claim to have a personal relationship with Jesus. I developed the motto, Jesus died for people, not for puppets. But puppets are wonderful storytellers. And so what I did was I stumbled onto the idea. I think God helped me with this because I was getting enormous resistance from the puppet community here in the States. And I looked at how Jesus used parables. Mm-hmm. And parables were stories. But when the story was finished, Jesus or the rabbi would step outside the story and say, now listen, who really is this man's neighbor? And so what we did with Christian puppetry is we said, listen, have the puppets tell a story. It can be a biblical story, or it could be a story that models Christian principles. But then have the director or the pastor or the children's worker say, listen, boys and girls, the story that the puppets told us today reminds me of a verse in the Bible. And then they make the spiritual application, and they're not confusing the children. They have wonderful imaginations, but when we make claims that are neither biblical or plausible, I think we get into trouble. And by and large, that's been really embraced, and we've seen it in Russia and others where they're writing really good scripts. But when it comes to spiritual application, we want that application made by someone in whom the Spirit of God resides.
Spoken with precision, a man of God who has a creative genius with the precision of an understanding when it comes to the theological application of the craft of Christian puppetry. David Pennebecker is here with us with his dear wife Lois and Suzanne Maurer and Danny Yamashiro here. We are together sharing in this time with you because we really believe, we firmly believe that the Lord knows you and loves you. And, well, we want to communicate that the truths of the love of God in your situation today. When we come back from our break, speaking of the truths of situations in our lives today, David and Lois, because of something that David is going through right now in his life has had to apply the message that he's proclaimed through puppetry, through his ministry of worship, through his 40 plus years of service to the Lord and others in the name of Christ, something he's going through. He'll share about that, and they'll talk about their story with this when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I lead you home.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
David Pannebecker expresses himself artistically as a world-renowned puppet designer. He studied under the tutelage of Kermit Love, the designer of Sesame Street's Big Bird. David's puppet characters have appeared in film and television in the United States, Canada, Japan, and Europe. He's with us along with his wife, Lois. I'm Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer. It's a blessing to have you with us today. You can find out more if you're tuning in right now. Maybe you caught the tail end of the last segment. You can get this program in its entirety at thegoodlifehawaii.com. To find out more about David and Lois, onemissionsociety.org.
David and Lois, was it about 3 years ago that we were blessed to have you come to KUC? 2 years.
In 2014 in August. So we just celebrated our two-year anniversary.
And
KUC.
We're so blessed. But shortly thereafter, the Lord allowed a terrific turn in your lives, health-wise. Who would like to speak of that first?
I'll say a couple of things, and then
thank
Lois
you.
Is great at, my voice is beginning to get weak. It's one of the side effects of chemo.
Yes.
I was really excited about our move to Hawaii. We felt the Lord was in it in an extraordinary way. And I was one of the things I was looking forward to about being on the islands, which I love, was just getting into a more active lifestyle with perpetual summer, I call it, you know, biking and maybe learning to paddleboard and some of those things. But very early on, I started developing pain in my back. And I thought, but we were living on the campus at Kalihi Union Church and mm-hmm. grateful for that. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, maybe it was the bed. So we bought a new bed, and nothing that we did was relieving the back pain. It just kept increasing. We started going to doctors. And I had had two minor falls. In the Philippines, a chair shattered. I landed on a cement floor on my back. And so it was natural to pursue that. But by November and December, the pain was just excruciating. I would...
Of 2015.
Some nights I would just walk and back and forth between the bedroom and our office until I fell asleep from exhaustion. And so we finally met, were introduced to a doctor who was an internist. And my son, who's a doctor, said, "Dad, you really need to get an abdominal scan." And so they did that right away. And, of course, the answer came back that I had a mass on my pancreas. And that was shocking news to me. I had always, I had never been sick in my life. You know, I'd had common colds and flus and things like that. But I think even in the midst of the shock, I understood the severity of the diagnosis. I was grateful for it, but devastated by the diagnosis, because I thought, how can this be? I thought this chapter in our lives would be the richest chapter. Mm-hmm. Lois and I were working together and these opportunities before us. And so in an instance, I felt like my dreams had died. And so it was traumatic to hear that.
Now, you heard of the mass, but had they localized it? I mean, did they tell you where it was at
that
time?
Well, they said it was on my pancreas.
Oh, okay.
And two thoughts flashed before my mind. My mentor, Dr. Weber, died of pancreatic cancer and died 2 months before I graduated. And he had had such a deep impact on my life. Mm-hmm. And I remember discussing this with one of my friends at Trinity Church in South Bend, who was a doctor and a surgeon. And he said, you know, pancreatic cancer is the most painful death that you can die from. And I thought, oh, you know, this is what I have to look forward to. And it was overwhelming. So a lot of tears were shed in the early days, as you could imagine.
Yes. And not just by the two of you, by the way.
Yes, yeah. And, you know, you can have all the best theology in the world, but when you face this, you go through some emotional things. And my first reaction was that I honestly felt, does God hate me?
Mm.
You know, and I knew that he didn't.
Exactly.
But I felt very abandoned, you know, and Lois, of course, was beside my side and has proven to be an amazing caregiver to me. But the potential death of that dream for me was devastating. And I was getting so sick, and we've often said if I had not known what the diagnosis was, we wouldn't have known what to do. We left the island on Christmas Eve, because I really wanted to be with my daughter and her family. Mm-hmm. By then, my appetite was shutting down. It could take an hour to drink four ounces of water, and I was getting so, so sick. I really didn't think I would live to New Year's Day, but I'll mm-hmm. let Lois pick up the story of how God provided for
this
us.
This was just our last Christmas.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, this has just been 8 months ago,
yes.
9 months, So, David had been in so much pain in the fall, we were relieved to find a diagnosis, but like he said, we were devastated. The day after he received his diagnosis, I said to the Lord, you know, I understand why he's in so much pain, and I don't want him to suffer. I just need to see something from your word. You give me a message from your word. And I opened up my Bible, and there at the top of the page on the right-hand side, marked in red, was this verse. Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly.
What's the scriptural address for that, Lois?
That's Matthew 15:28.
Thank you.
And so I think at that moment when I read that, the challenge for me became, what does it mean to have great faith? And how does that impact each day? And David and I had done a lot of talking in the fall when he was in so much pain. He said, you know, I just can't live like this. I'm going to go crazy. And I said, well, one lesson I've learned through some experiences in life is God meant what he said when he told us to live one day at a time. Mm-hmm. And if we can manage one day at a time to keep our focus on him and just what we have to manage for that day, we can actually keep sane through some very difficult and challenging circumstances. So once we knew it was pancreatic cancer, we continued with that, and we decided that we would make every day count and we would enjoy our days and we would not live them morosely because we didn't know how many we had together. And he was extremely sick January through March, and he was starting to undergo treatment. But we really, early on, didn't know if he'd live till his birthday in March. And then in March, end of March, beginning of April, he started getting better. And his condition is now considered stable. The tumor is still there, but it appears to be dying. He doesn't have any of the symptoms of cancer. He has symptoms that have to do with having had radiation and chemotherapy. But we just praise God for the strength he has. And he lost 50 pounds very fast, and he's put 20 of those pounds back on. He's eating well. He feels good, other than the fatigue and everything. But it's a very different story than what we were living in January. So we praise God.
Sounds like a miracle from God. Yes. And I know that prayer was
been
a
huge.
Major
yes.
part of it.
From all over the world.
It literally.
All over the world.
Literally.
Yeah, all over the world. You know, Suzanne, one of the things that God did for me, there were a couple of things that really gave me hope, regardless of how this journey ends. When we landed in Seattle, it was Christmas morning, and I don't know if it was the next day or not, but the doctor who had diagnosed us here on the island had studied with one of the leading pancreatic experts in Seattle, and we got a call, and he said, you know, it's a very aggressive cancer, but I've made an appointment for you. And when we arrived at the hospital a day or two later, I was registering, and they said, oh, we have you scheduled for surgery on Thursday. And then I had another procedure, I think, on Saturday, Lois. But right then I thought, you know what? And I get emotional.
It's okay. I'm thinking only God.
Yeah. You know, God has not abandoned me. He was one step ahead of us. And that was such an encouragement to me. You know,
we've seen that over and
over and over again. You know that theologically is a biblical principle, but when you see it unfolding it in your life, these become ways that God just increases your faith. And I thought, you know what? There's no safer place than in the hands of God.
Amen.
No safer place than in the hands of God. Spoken by David Pennebaker, speaking of being at some of, or, well, maybe the lowest moments of his life. You talk about disappointment. You talk about feeling or asking the question, hey, what happened here? This is completely outside of what I was expecting in my life. Can you relate with that? Has that ever happened to you? Have you been shocked by circumstances
or felt abandoned?
Or beyond anything that you could have ever imagined? Well, David can speak to that. And God has sent him here to speak to our hearts. When we come back from our break, more from David and Lois Pennebaker. Dear friend, have you ever felt that God has abandoned you? You ever feel that maybe God has some kind of special dislike for you because of what he's allowing you to go through? Well, dear one, you are not alone. In fact, there's more to the story, and David and Lois will share about more when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
sometimes maybe the great messages that we hear are not when life is going well or we're at the top of our game. Perhaps some of the most powerful messages come when we hear someone speak out of the depth of pain and how they survived in the midst of that, or how God has sustained them in the midst of that. Well, we've got one for you. David and Lois Pennebaker are with us today in studio. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer. We're grateful that you're joining us together today. You can find out more about this program and access this as a free podcast, that and other resources at thegoodlifehawaii.com. David, I think about Job writing in the midst of pain. There's a very unique connectability that he has to anyone, with anyone who's suffering. I think you have a word to share with someone today. What would you say to someone who is listening and they're in pain right now in their life as they listen?
Well, the scriptures have been a great comfort to us, and Lois is going to share a couple of verses that have been very meaningful to us as part of this journey.
I think when we're, you know, pain exists and there's the confusion of a diagnosis, it's really hard to keep your head above water and not become overwhelmed and discouraged. And when I was a teenager going through a challenging time, I became aware of Psalm 32:8, where it says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you." And that's become probably one of my life verses, because I realize that God said, "I will do this." It's not "I might," but he has promised that he will instruct and teach us. And we needed a ton of instruction and knowledge and wisdom as we entered this the world of cancer. And so we have sought the Lord continually and really tried to listen to his voice as he has guided us in decisions that needed to be made. And there have been, it seems to be, nonstop decisions, because we're trying to decide what is God's idea for David's care. And I think he is, as well as he is, partly because we've done things that we feel God has spoken to us and prompted us. And another passage that I was not aware of until this experience was Isaiah 28, starting in verse 23. And Isaiah talks about the farmer and the techniques he uses to sow and reap. And it says, well, why does he know what he's supposed to do? It says God teaches him. And then, so it says that about the sowing, and then it says about the reaping. This also comes from the Lord of hosts. He is wonderful in counsel and excellent in wisdom. And when I saw those verses, I thought, these are verses for us as we meander this illness. God is a God who is wonderful in counsel and excellent in wisdom, and we've been relying on him to give us the understanding we need. So we just praise him for the direction and also for the answers. And, you know, we don't know how it's going to turn out. We understand what we're dealing with, but we are praising God for this chapter.
David, I'm going to have both of you share quickly, please, but start with you. What difference has Christ made in your life? I know that's a profound question, but see if you can encapsulate it a little bit for me, please.
Well, of course, every difference. I can't imagine going through an experience like this without my relationship with the Lord. And you know, having never been sick, I don't think I fully understood the impact that a serious sickness has on people. And, you know, there were days, quite frankly, when I was so sick, you're just trying to get through the day and live another day. And we wanted to live each day well, whatever the Lord gave us. But one of the things that has been such a joy to me is, maybe it's because people have a certain empathy and sympathy for someone who's facing particularly a life-threatening cancer for which there is no cure. And it's the Lord has just opened doors to just share sometimes brief words, but it's your story, mm-hmm. which is wrapped up in Christ's story. And so I've been able to tell them, you know, I have this cancer. The prognosis is not good from a medical point of view, but we serve a great God, and I have people all over the world praying for me, and people listen, and they don't push back. And so we've seen just wonderful opportunities to share Christ, and sometimes it's just planting a seed. I don't know what part of the journey, their journey to Christ is, but I want to be faithful to use the opportunities God gives me. And we recognize that salvation belongs to God and to the Lamb who sits on the throne, and he's the one who saves. And if we can speak words of blessing into people's lives, even through this difficult journey, then it's a great privilege that we have.
Thank you. Lois, how about you? Christ and the difference he's made.
I would say that just on a daily basis, knowing that God is with me, and that he had a reason for putting me on this earth, and that he will help me to fulfill that purpose if I keep my eyes on him, if I stay in the Word, if I'm listening for God's voice, I will know why I'm here, and I'll be able to fulfill that. And when it's my turn to go into his presence, I'll have a fulfilling life that will have brought him pleasure.
David and Lois. How has this experience impacted the way you worship now?
They're looking at each other, Danny, trying to see who's going first.
It's a great question. When I came back to Seattle, my first time back at Collegiate Union Church, which I love, it felt like all the songs had been picked to minister to me deeply that Sunday, and I was in tears, as you can imagine. And you don't take worship for granted. It's such a privilege to gather together with God's people. So being able to pray and sing text and hear the Word of God read beautifully, I think is even more meaningful to me now. I tell people this has been the most challenging endeavor I have ever embarked on, but it's also been the most grace-filled endeavor I have ever embarked on. The love of God's people and their concern and their faithfulness to pray when I couldn't pray has just meant the world to me, and I'm so grateful for our family at KUC, our family at Trinity Church in South Bend, and God's people around the globe. You can't put a price tag on that.
I think part of worship is coming together with God's people. I mean, corporate worship. And being able to do that when life is hard is so rewarding. And you're not only, you know, singing God's praises, hearing his word, praying, but you're also experiencing the love of the body of Christ. And so maybe that wasn't quite what you're looking for, but when we come together as God's people, it's just very uplifting and encouraging, and we feel blessed to have these brothers and sisters, and also to have God as our Heavenly Father.
And Danny, if I may just share, the couple to step in this situation at KUC were Randy and Gay Hongo. And Randy, of course, for our listeners that know him, is a miracle story in and of himself. So to me, that's just another kiss, if you will, from Jesus of saying, not only do I have a couple to support you, but look at the example of my healing in his mm-hmm. life. Yeah. So mm-hmm. God has just been amazing.
It's been a very rich chapter. We wouldn't ask anyone else to have to go through it, but we feel that God has just poured out his love and his generosity, a lot of it through his people.
Well, and in many ways so far, his healing. Because this
indeed.
Is quite remarkable.
Yes, it is.
David, I'd like to ask you to do something. I understand your, as we've gone on, you know, your voice and just the level of strength, but just a little something special here. In this moment, even a moment of weakness, would you be willing to pray for someone today who is him or herself also going through cancer?
Sure.
Or some serious ailment? And then Lois, for a moment, I know we've only got maybe about a minute or so left, but a prayer for someone who's caring for their dear loved one.
We'd be glad to.
Please, David, Lois.
Father, we come before you today with boldness because of the work of Jesus Christ. And Father, we are reminded again and again that you are the great physician. And Father, I pray that you would reach down with love and comfort, that you would surround those who are suffering, particularly from cancer, with your holy angels, that they would sense your love for them, your favor upon them. And I pray, too, that you would bring into these individuals' lives people who deeply love them and care for them, who can come alongside them and offer them encouragement in ways that will minister deeply into their hearts. And Father, most importantly, I pray that they would know your love that is offered to them through Jesus Christ and his sacrificial death and his resurrection. And so we trust them to your care, knowing that you love them deeply, and we find great joy and comfort in that. And we pray this, Father, today in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.
And Father, I am grateful for those people who have cared for me when I've been sick. Thank you for the fact that you have promised to all of us that you will never leave us or forsake us, so that we can boldly say, God is my helper. And I would ask that for the caregivers who are feeling overwhelmed, that you will give them encouragement, that you will give them strength, that you will keep them well, and that they will look to you and call out on your name for the help they need to make it through each day. Give them hearts of love, and may they be instruments of your peace into the lives of the people they're caring for. We thank you that it's possible because you empower us. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 David, Lois, thank you. Thank you for being with us today. It's been truly, truly a blessing.
Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you for the opportunity. God bless you too.
Dear one, today we do hope that you've been encouraged, even so moved, touched by the story of David and Lois Pennebecker. You can find out more about them and their ministry at onemissionsociety.org. And you know what? There's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, as we always say, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Would you do it? Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. Just go ahead and click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation for you there. Psalm 67 verse 3 says, "Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you." It's always a blessing to be with you. Special thank you to David and Lois Pennebecker, onemissionsociety.org. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.